Welcome to The Rachel Peterson Show, the place where we dissect social media strategies entrepreneurs are using to build their brand, go viral, and make a massive impact. Let's dive on in.
Welcome back to another episode of The Rachel Peterson Show. Okay, guys, we're going to have some fun this week with Katie Momo, who is a former social media manager and strategist turned accidental copywriter who is so incredibly talented, very, very passionate, and she also has a really cool viral story, which we may or may not dive into in this interview. Without further ado, Katie Momo. Katie, I'm so happy to have you on my podcast today. It has been so amazing to see your journey as an entrepreneur from a social media manager to kind of accidentally becoming a copywriter. Tell me a little bit about what that journey has been like for you.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just have to say thank you so much for having me. I love your show. I'm such a huge Rachel fan in general, so I really appreciate being on here and sharing what I know with your whole tribe.
Aw, thank you, Katie.
So yeah, I kind of had an accidental backdoor into copywriting. So I was, like you said, a social media manager. I had done social media for some pretty big corporations, and then I started going into the entrepreneur space. And even throughout my work years, so back when I actually had jobs, different jobs, I always have had a writing role. Somehow everyone would be like, oh, we need a website. Like, ask Katie to do it. Or we need a newsletter. Oh, let's have Katie write it because she's really good with words. So that's kind of where it started. Like going back over a decade ago before I even knew that copy was a thing, aside from like, you know, copyright as in trademark sort of thing.
Yes.
And it just, when I was doing social media, I was getting good results of getting people to pages, but then nothing would convert because I realized that the pages weren't optimized.
Right. So right.
You sort of start seeing like the backpedaling where you're like, okay, we're getting to this point, but nothing's happening here. What do we have to do at this point to keep traffic flowing? And that's where it all sort of really started hitting the boat.
I think that's so cool.
It's been an amazing journey. And then when you start realizing that, you know, there's huge opportunities and it's so fun to see, you know, people who they're not really sure what their messaging is. Like they have it in their head. They just can't put the words together. And when you can link that for them, and it becomes such a powerful tool for them to use. It's just amazing to watch that happen.
It sounds absolutely amazing. And it's something that I feel all entrepreneurs need to kind of explore because not everybody is naturally talented with words. I will say being active on social media and understanding how to post to social media makes it a little bit easier, but that doesn't fix it all. I feel like there's such a specific set of skills and kind of an inherent talent that it takes in order to be effective with writing copy. Would you agree with that?
I think you might have a more natural affinity for words, but I think that copywriting is a lot more structured than what people think it is. And it's a lot easier to learn once you sort of understand the process as opposed to just being completely creative. And I would think, for me, writing fiction would be way harder than writing copy because I can understand how things work. And I'm kind of a sales copy nerd. Like I was in sales for years. So I bring that sales psychology with me, which helps. And it's a lot more structured. And I think that that's where it comes in, where once you start learning how things are broken down, you can start seeing how you can bring your voice into that. So I think there's both sides. I mean, everything can be learned. I totally believe that, especially for people who have that background on social. You can start building those connections even faster.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that that's a really good point. One of the things I love about social media is that you're able to build connections with everybody. And that the ability to build connections over social media or on the internet where you're not meeting people face to face is a very unique skill set. And now, one of the things that was kind of cool about like you and I getting to know each other is that we started as social media managers kind of at the same time.
Yeah.
I think it was pretty close to the same time. I started in November of 2015. That's pretty close to when you started as well, or at least yeah. as an entrepreneur.
Totally. Yeah. It's quite funny that you say that because we had very mirrored pass for yes. a while. And it's kind of neat to see how you can take that and really mold it to your own.
Absolutely. And I remember, so this is kind of funny. You were one of the first social media managers that I came into contact with as I was starting as an entrepreneur and going out on my own. And, you know, it was so funny because initially my reaction was, and I'm sure this is pretty natural for most people, but my reaction was, oh, this is competition. This is scary. This is somebody who is fighting for the same clients as I am. And I know that a lot of social media managers feel that. But one of the things that I really enjoyed about my career was that I quickly embraced social media managers. And that was a big game changer in my business. But I'm actually really, really glad that you and I didn't have any competition going on. We were able to be friends and encourage each other and be excited for one another. But you've had so many cool things that have happened since that time. Tell me a little bit about some of the highlights so that my audience can understand how your career has just completely transformed.
Sure. I'd love to share it because you're totally right. We started at the same time. We had very eerily similar in a way. Yes, you had a huge, huge viral post with the ring. I had a huge viral post with yes. my surprise wedding. So for people who don't know, I surprised all of my friends when we got married. They didn't know. They showed up on an island just off of Vancouver, British Columbia, expecting that I was going to be proposed to. So everyone thought that I was getting surprised. And we did a double take and surprised them. So we didn't tell anyone about it, and then we put it out on BuzzFeed, and it went viral.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And if you haven't looked it up yet, it is literally one of the most beautiful weddings I have ever seen. From it was a gold sparkly dress, I think, right?
It was, yeah.
Oh, it was like every. It was so pretty. So if you haven't looked it up yet, what is the easiest way to find that viral post?
You know what? I can probably just put the link. I think that I have a BitLink somewhere, but I can't remember the exact one. But I'll send it to you so you can put it in the show notes if
That's
you want.
That's perfect.
Awesome. And so you had had your viral post like mm-hmm. just before that. I had this. And then I think that's when things started to diverge. And
yes.
It's kind of funny that you talk about the competition thing because I can totally see where you're going with that, but I'm not a competitive person. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of like, everyone's just going to do their own thing. And I think that really helped me in a way. And I sort of realized that not everybody is right for everyone either. Like yes. I get a lot of contacts all the time because people still know me from social media back in the day. So I'm mm-hmm. like still constantly giving away to other yes, people who I'm like, good for this person, this is good for that person. So you can totally see that. And then when I started copywriting, that's when these huge wins started happening. Like I had a client that, you know, they ended up selling so much, they reduced their manufacturing costs by 25%. I just did a membership launch for somebody who they went from having no members, they just started their membership, to having 825 members.
Get out.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be over $150,000 a year in just membership alone. And she has a full-time job.
Oh, like, my gosh.
I know.
It's so powerful. And, you know, it's so fun to see how your career has transformed in one facet. I feel like there are even bigger things coming for you in 2017. Are there big things that you have on the horizon or are they not announced yet? Tell me a little bit about what's coming.
There's a few things coming. I'm pretty excited about it. So I'm working on a course now. So just like you were saying how like copywriting seems to be like this sort of mystical, magical thing. And it's not nearly so magic as people think it is. Like, there are definite structures that you can follow and techniques that you can use in order to be more persuasive and, you know, connect with people the way that, you want to through words. So just like you were saying, how social media, it gives you scale. You have that opportunity to reach people and connect and sell, but you don't have to do it one-on-one. And copyright is the exact same thing. So it gives you that opportunity to have that expansiveness and reach more people without necessarily face-to-face every time.
Absolutely. So
that is what I'm working on. And actually, if you go to my website, which is brilliantmediaco.com, you will see a section that says programs, and that lists all of the upcoming courses. So I'm doing a website copy course. I'm doing a sales copy course. So that's going to be like sales pages and email funnels, that sort of thing. And then I'm also going to put a course for people who want to become copywriters and want to have the ability to write and have the freedom as well in order to travel, because all you need is your computer and some internet and you are good to go.
That's amazingly powerful. And I remember when I was first hearing about this idea of jobs where you could actually work from anywhere, and it sounded too good to be true. I'll be honest. I was like, there's no way. This has to be a scam. You mean there's a whole tribe of people who are working online, loving their life, taking their computer anywhere that they go, and focusing on things that they love? For real?
Sign me up for that. Is that happening, or is that just something people say? You're like, no, it's real. It happens, and it's amazing.
I love it. It's so powerful. So with writing copy, I guess one of the questions I would have for you is, what is a good sign that somebody could have a future in being a successful copywriter? Does there have to be a natural love for words? Does there have to be what? Tell me a little bit about what's a good indication.
I would say you have to enjoy writing. I mean, anything that you learn more, you enjoy more because you get better at it. So that's definitely a key thing. But it's probably important to like writing, first of all. But you can still write good copy even if you're not in love with writing. But if you want to become a copywriter, I would say enjoy that process. And be inquisitive. I think that's very important, because being a good copywriter really relies on asking the right questions.
Right.
Being able to mine the information, because what I find a lot of people doing is they don't recognize the value of their own story or their own path or their business. So you need to be able to figure out the right questions to pull out those gems and use that in your copy.
It kind of sounds like you're almost like a detective in a way.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's because people know the information, but nobody values it. And what's funny is I was just watching the commencement speech that Steve Jobs had done at Harvard yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he has three stories. And the first story is connecting the dots. And it's weird because I had just basically told someone this exact same thing, where you don't recognize the value of your business or your story or anything going forward, because you can't see how that's going to turn into something. It's only when you look back and you get hindsight at 2020 that you realize all these things fell into place.
Yes.
So being able to find those dots and those connections is key.
Do you think it's easier for other people to come in and find those connections and put the dots together than it is for somebody who's kind of in the grind every day looking at their own business?
I do. Yeah. I think it's nice to have perspective and have that 30,000 foot view. And also because I've just known so many questions to ask, it's easy for me to, you know, instantly go to what I would do in order to find that important information. And it's so true. I mean, when we're stuck in our business, it's the classic working on our business versus working in our business.
Yes.
And we've all gotten stuck in the working in our business phase. And then it's hard to see through the mire. So it's nice when somebody comes with that fresh perspective and they don't know everything about your business for the better.
Yes, Absolutely. I love that point because I think this is something I've experienced quite a bit. A lot of people look at your business and they sometimes say, oh my gosh, they get kind of like romanticized by the idea of how everything's grown. They say, it's amazing. Like you've blown up. Everything is going so well. And I'm like, you don't understand how hard I have been working to get it to this point. You've experienced this too as well.
Big time. And because you were doing social media for when you were a hairstylist, so you had years of experience before you ever thought of starting a business. And people totally romanticize that. And that's a hard thing for me too, because people are like, oh, wow, you just blown up and you're huge. And that was so easy for you. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like I've honestly been doing this for over 10 years without even knowing.
You do not even look old enough to have been doing this for 10 years, but I'll just trust you on that one.
It's all about the, you know, the good moisturizer, you know, you got to keep filling in the cracks.
We're going to have to chat about that because I need some assistance in that area.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So one of the questions I have for you is, you know, when you were first starting, did you initially reach out to people in your physical community? Or was it something that you grew online because you naturally had a set of skills with social media?
It was all online, actually. I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but I did try to go to a few networking events, but it just wasn't me and I wasn't feeling it. And I'm really good with being behind a screen. Because I've done social media for so long, is that I feel very me behind the screen and not in a like super forced networking environment. Mm-hmm. And everything. So what's the cool thing is that, you know, you have a Facebook group, you have an amazing group of people in their amazing tribe. And there's a few of those that I'm in and it's basically grown entirely organically from mm-hmm. Facebook groups. I would do something for somebody else and they would post about it in a group and be like, hey, you know, Katie, help me with this and the results are great, blah, 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 blah. And then more people would reach out to me and more people would reach out to me. So it has grown in the most organic way, no paid traffic, nothing. It's all about relationships and building that connection and just doing a really good job and loving on your people. That's probably one of the best things I could ever give. It's just create that relationship and just love on them.
It sounds to me like you're saying that you should be using social media to actually be social, which is mm-hmm. a crazy idea.
Yeah. You might find that in the name if you read between the lines.
It's kind of hidden. But what I love about that is that you're recognizing the power of not necessarily automating everything, but the power of truly building relationships. And that's when the online world can feel super genuine and just warm and welcoming. And I've grown to absolutely love the online world, even though in person, I love getting to know people. But at the same time, the online world, I've found some of the best relationships of my entire life. I think you've experienced that as well.
Absolutely. It's crazy because now it's not like we're not constrained by location or distance. We can connect over common passions and drive and all of that. So it just like you said, it makes the world feel so small and cozy. And everywhere you look, it's like people doing amazing things. And yes. You're able to talk to them.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Okay, so I do have one question for you.
Yeah.
So is there one or two companies or individuals that you look at and their copy is so stellar that you are just crushing? Like you're like, I need to talk to this person's copywriter, or I want to get to know them, or I want to do something similar to those types of copy.
Oh, that's a good question. I love variety, so I'm always looking to change things up. Like that's why I love working with different businesses because I get to sort of see inside and peek around and be someone else. Like I loved theater, so I was able to like assume someone else's voice, which is really fun.
Yes.
But there's definitely people that I look at and I'm like, I just love how authentic and genuine they are. So Denise Duffield Thomas from Lucky, I don't know if I can say her business name here. She's
so
authentic to herself. And I think that it really resonates with her tribe. I think that is so amazing. There's a company called Poppin, and they actually do, of all things, like stationery and office supplies, but like really cute stuff.
Okay.
And the way they describe their products is amazing. I think it's really good, and they have excellent descriptions about like everything that you can expect, like from shipping, packaging, care, but also really cutesy descriptions where you can actually envision it in your life, and you're like, I must have this stapler. Not that I really like stationery. I wouldn't know anything about that. I have 5 notebooks in this room alone. So those are two that's kind of cool on both a product side and a service side.
Yep. Okay. That's so fun. I absolutely love really good. And I'm a huge sucker for snarky copy. I'm not the most snarky. Like, it doesn't come very naturally to me. If anything, I'm really goofy. But when I see really well-written, snarky copy that kind of has like a, you know, if you're going to be our customer, you're going to respect us too. When I see that type of copy, I'm like, this is amazing. And I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I know I've seen it before. Oh, one good example, and this is so dumb, but is Cards Against Humanity. Everything that they do is so just like in your face snarky. I kind of crush on it. I love it.
It's so on brand for them.
Yes.
I saw one, I can't remember the name of this website, but it was a website that does coaching. Like it's sort of, I think it's like a pool of coaches essentially. So they'll sort of match you up sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then their headline was, like opinions that aren't, or like advice that's not from your opinionated bestie. And I was like, oh my God, that's so awesome. Because you know, you've all gone to your friend and they're just full of opinions and you're like, I just needed to talk. I didn't need to be talked at. I just wanted to like have a conversation, not a one-way street.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's so, so good. That is so good. Okay, Katie, I am so, so thankful that you were able to join us today. I have one last question for you, and that is, is there a book or a resource that you found that sparked your love for either copy or social media? Since I know my audience is interested in both, is there one book that you recommend that you can't get enough of that you would say everybody should read?
That is a good question because I'm kind of – I love reading.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot of books. To be honest, can I throw something else out there?
Yes.
A different kind of book?
Yes, please.
I think that sales skills are something that everybody needs and a lot of people lack. There is a writer whose name Jeffrey Gitomer, G-I-T-O-M-E-R.
Okay.
He writes wonderful books about sales. He has this the sales Bible, and he has a bunch of really cute little books. He'll have like the little red book about selling, the platinum book of cha-ching.
Cute.
Super cute, and they're fun to read. Like they have amazing typography. Like you look at it and it's good to look at, right? And
The
information is amazing. He's really about relationship-based selling. So whether or not you are in copywriting or social media, or honestly, you just own a business, I think that his books are really valuable. It's what I started reading when I first started getting into sales. And I have a couple of his books just by my table, and I just sometimes flip it open and read it just to have a good refresher.
Yes.
So that's one of my favorite. And, what is the name of the other one? It's an excellent sales book, and I think everyone should read it. Cashvertising.
Hmm.
That is an amazing book. And they will, like, there's phrases in there. Again, it's a very slim book, so it's super easy to read. And it's not like a book that you may necessarily read, like, front to back sort of thing. You may just go in there and reference something when you're like, I really need to figure out how to motivate people to do X sort of thing.
Yes.
So Cashvertising by Drew Eric Whitman is another amazing book. And I really believe that anyone should read those two authors. They're fantastic.
I feel like you just opened a can of worms that is so powerful. A few of my guests have talked about this just briefly. When I say, you know, let's talk about the number one skill within your industry, and people keep bringing it back to sales. And I honestly believe that sales skills are something that do not ever go out of style. And if you can know, if you know how to sell something in an authentic way, not in a sleazy way, in a way that builds relationships, oh my gosh, the world is yours. And so I love that you just brought that up, because I think it's something that is an emerging market for a lot of people online. They need to focus on their sales skills.
Big time, because you can be the best at whatever it is, but if you can't convey that, and if you can't connect with someone and make them see how you can help them, it doesn't go anywhere. So sales skills, I absolutely believe, are one of the most critical things. When I got into a sales role almost 10 years ago, I was terrified, because I was like, I can't sell, I can't do that, I'm terrified, I'm scared. But I was like, you know what, I'm here, I'm going to do it, I'm going to nail it, I'm going to help people. Because I think one thing that people need to keep in mind is that good selling is helping.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's such a good way to look at it, because the skills that you have, somebody needs them. Yes. Usually many people need them. Yes. And so by accurately conveying that in a sales letter or in a sales call, you are doing somebody a service. And I think that that's such a great way to look at sales in general.
Yeah, and I think that changes the whole mindset for it when you realize that you're helping somebody because they need you. And another thing for service-based people is sometimes I find service-based people be like, I can't charge because they could do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true, but there's a few things. They may not want to.
Yes.
They may not like social media or writing copy or whatever thing you do for them. Two, you are the expert because you do it way more. So just because they can do it doesn't mean that they're the best people to do it. You're a better fit. And three, they're a business owner as well. And there's things that they're more valuable in their business doing rather than posting or writing or whatever service you may provide. So I think that a lot of service providers need to keep that in mind, is that their service is so valuable, mm-hmm. even if they could do it themselves. They don't want to, they don't need to, and you're a better fit.
Absolutely. I love that little vote of confidence. And it's so true. We all need to focus on our zones of genius. And I think service providers forget that sometimes. Business owners are busy. They can't be focusing on every part of their business, nor should they be.
Exactly. And that's what's so important. I mean, there's things that I could do myself, but it's not worth it for me to. I'd rather have somebody do it for me, because they're more effective at it anyway, and it just frees up my mind for the things I really should do.
Yes. I know I can instantly talk about what are the areas that I need support in my business. For me, it is accounting. I need a bookkeeper and accountant, and I still haven't brought somebody on board. And I'm like, this needs to happen this year, because
that's just what I did, and it feels so good. Oh, do it.
Okay.
Do it now.
I will. It's literally, I mean, I feel so bad for the person who comes on, because they're just, it's going to be a project and a half, but it's going to be worth it 100%.
Oh, it's going to be so good. You're going to be like that person, like in The Sound of Music, you know, where she's like spinning in the mountains. It's going to feel so good, Rachel.
Yep. I'll be sewing dresses out of drapes. It's going to be wonderful.
The whole thing will change.
I love that. All right, Katie, I am so, so thankful to have you on the podcast today. Do you have any last words or anything? Last words, it sounds so serious.
It's over now.
Do you have any parting wisdom that you'd like to leave people with, or any last thoughts?
Sure. Well, if they want a resource, what I have is, if you go to bit.ly/salespage6s, and that is the number 6, and I'll give you the link. That is my structure for a money-making sales page. So any sales page ever that performs well will be based on this system. So one of the tasks is also for you to go through and start identifying the system in different sales pages.
Oh, man.
And it has some of the really important questions that you need in order to help build your own sales page or work with me page. So it'll really help you identify that. So there's 6 steps to having a really good sales page. So go check it out.
That sounds awesome. I'll link to that in the show notes. I'm excited about that resource because I think it's something that I need in my business as well. Katie, thank you so much. All of the links will be in the show notes today. I am so grateful for you coming. Have such an amazing day.
Thank you too. Have a great day, Rachel.
Doesn't Katie just have like the coolest vibe? You want to become her best friend. Literally, I can't help it. Every time I talk to her, I'm just like, Katie, you are the coolest person. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And if you're looking for more information on Katie, you can find the show notes over at rachelpeterson.com/podcast. And if you learned something new in this interview, I want you to do me a favor. Head on over to iTunes and leave me a review. Tell me exactly what you learned in this episode. As always, I want you to take action, get social, and be prepared to make a massive impact. I'll see you next week.